come. We've achieved it. We've already succeeded. We are the church. No, not at all, right? We've used the word journey through this. We're still learning. This is a process of God, of becoming who God has called us to be and doing what He's called us to do. And it will continue after this week, even though next week is Grad Sunday. We'll celebrate that and consider how we are living and where we are going. And then following that, throughout the summer, we're going to walk through the book of Amos. Probably not a hugely known book, but I think he's got some powerful things to say to us. But as we grow to become the church, to be the church, to be that, to live it out in active ways, right? How is it that the church, those that attend regularly, our lives look so similar to the world, which is lost and desperate and need of a Savior? How can it be that our lives and our priorities, the way we live, right? Who's been asked in the last week or month or even in the last year about the hope that is within you, right? As Peter says, always be ready to give an answer to those who ask, who inquire about the hope that is in you. Speaking of the living hope that Peter's introduced earlier. Who's been asked? Why don't we get asked if we look and sound and we are different? Well, we've been walking through a mini-series in this series on love. It says growing to be the church is growing in love. In love with God and journeying with Him and journeying with people. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 1, just two verses this week, 3 and 4. I'll read it first from the New Living Translation. Consider this. This is the Word of God to us. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. Right? Nothing good flows out of us unless we've received it from our Heavenly Father. I'm going to reread that in the English Standard Version now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Heavenly Father, we need to receive from You. And I think there's lots of times there's things that are hindering us from receiving. We've already mentioned journey, and this is a journey to go on, that we really receive from You. Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, help us receive that we can then share. And would You speak to us here now, our hearts and our minds, that we would walk out of here different, having been in Your presence, and that we would truly live and continue to become different from the inside out by the power of Your Spirit, the transformation of our lives. We pray it in Your name. Amen. If we look at the next slide there, there's a little diagram of some transition, right? This passage says, the God of all, Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction or in our times of trouble, right? When we're going through trouble or transition, where does our faith go? And there's a risk here that we can, when we go down, when we're challenged, we respond with anger, disappointment. We face all sorts of things. There's frustrations in life. We can go down And instead of curving and continuing forward and going up, we can continue to spiral. We can get stuck in a situation. Become aware of what we can't do rather than what we can do. We can become fearful and shrink back rather than continuing to move forward. Or we can be comforted. We can receive from God what He wants to give us. Meet Him in that confusion and allow Him to lead us to a new day of engagement and encouraged to face what we face. Life is challenging, is it not? Do you not face things that are bigger than you? And we need the God of all comfort. We don't need someone else in there. And we can face the emotions of frustration and anger and apathy and confusion with Christ and with people. And we do this, if we look at the next slide, by growing to be the church, growing in love with God, journeying with God and with people. And with God, we learn how to continually receive what He wants to give us, right? We don't live on yesterday's comforts and yesterday's mercies. They're new every morning because we need them for every day. And we learn how to receive from God. And then that is what we have, this valuable thing to pass on to others. And sometimes we question the value of that, but it's invaluable. And it's absolutely needed in our dark world. We need to learn how to love, and that's journeying with God and with people. So first, the receiving part. I want to reread our verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Consider how many times it mentions God in one way or another, and how many times it mentions comfort in this passage. Who comforts us in a few of our afflictions. No, in all of our affliction. He's always offering. We aren't always receiving or able to receive. There's hindrances in our lives. But He comforts us in all our affliction. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian believers. And we are believers. We can receive this as well. And we'll get into this next part, but I'll read it now. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. You ever feel inadequate? Wow, what they're going through, I can't really identify with. How do I possibly journey? How do I possibly love them? You know what God's giving us? All we need by the power of His Spirit to walk with people, even when it's a journey we haven't gone on, but we have received in our affliction, and we can identify in some way with them where they are, and we can find a way to walk with them with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Multiple times this mentions God and mentions comfort. If we just pause on that screen for a bit, there's no cool pictures this week, buildings falling down, whatever else. We'll watch a couple videos later. But just consider the Word of God. Throughout Scripture, Paul and the other authors exalt God the Father. And Jesus Christ is given the name Lord, just as He is in this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just pause and see who we're receiving from for a moment. Because I think we can skip over that, right? We can breeze through that first part of this couple of verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we haven't paused to say, who is this that's going to give us comfort, that's going to do the rest of this verse? Who is this? This is the Lord. It's above every other name, Philippians 2 says. And it denotes His special status and supreme authority. That Jesus is our Lord is central to the message of Scripture, to Paul's preaching, and to our preaching, right? We don't preach someone else. We preach Christ crucified, risen, right? He's the Savior. He is Lord over all, and it's central to who we are. And we need to receive from Him. Unfortunately, Garland says, one of the commentators I read, this lofty title has lost its impact in our era. And according to one who has become one of the most lifeless words in the Christian vocabulary. Right? It's just Lord. We just throw it out there. We still breeze over it. It means that those who call Him Lord belong absolutely to Him and owe Him, and no other so-called lords. It's all Him. Paul develops that more in 1 Corinthians. There's an absolute obedience here. There is a following, right? Our mission statement says we're followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. We follow. We actually go where He is leading us. And we go differently as we transform from the inside out. Since God has given Jesus this status, to reject Jesus as Lord is to repudiate, he says, to neglect, reject, deny, disagree with God as being Father. So rejecting Jesus as Lord is a serious thing. And people attending church every week, some of them will end up in hell. They haven't surrendered to Jesus as Lord. They're just simply doing religion, trying to earn their way to God. But we confess Jesus as Lord, and it brings glory to God. Right? We confess Him when we're baptized. We're going through a baptism class right now. Those courageous to say, I am a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to be baptized as a sign of what He's already done in my life, that I've already chosen to follow. We celebrate communion regularly, saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I take this in remembrance of Him, because it's all about what He has done and not what I have done. And my faith is in Him and nothing else. It's not in doing the right thing, singing the right songs, whatever else. But it's not only baptism and communion. It's all of life that Jesus is Lord, and we learn how to follow Him. This is who is speaking to us. Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, who intimately breaks into history and wants a relationship with us and wants to give us what we need to live, to truly live, to have abundant life. This is the God of mercy and the God of all comfort. That's the who. Don't belittle that. Let's raise that up. This is the who. Paul identifies further God in all sorts of ways. He's the God of love in 2 Corinthians 13. He's the God of endurance and comfort in Romans 15. The God of hope also in Romans 15. Romans 16 is the God of peace in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 as well. God of peace. He's the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Also in Romans 15. And here he identifies Him as the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. That implies mercies and comfort are brought through the realization through Christ, that come through Christ. Bernard, another commentator I read, says that God is not called the Father of judgments and vengeances, or vengeance. That's the way He's presented in our society a lot, right? He's the God of judgment. He's harsh. And some of His churches have become very judgmental and vengeful. But He's called the God of mercies and all comfort. And it's repeated and it intensifies in this throughout this larger passage. The God to whom Paul offers up praise is not known only in theological, theoretical terms and creeds, but through His direct act of comforting and showing mercy. See, sometimes we say, comfort, well, thanks, you made me feel better. But you haven't changed my situations. Polphius, another commentator, has shown that the word usage here, the comfort, throughout the Old Testament and now breaking into the New, refers to God's concrete intervention. He doesn't just say, go away and feel better. He actively meets our needs. The divine commission that the prophet Isaiah talks about, comfort ye my people, is not simply consoling them and saying, feel better in your affliction. But God intends to intervene, and he prophesies, and he says he will restore you. He will bring transformation. He will bring change. Many in our culture worship at the cult of comfort in a self-centered way, a search for ease. That's comfort when I don't have to do anything hard. But it lasts only for a moment, and it never fully satisfies. That's not what he's talking about here. Watson comments that the word comfort has gone soft in modern English. In the time of Wycliffe, the word was closely connected to its root, the Latin fortis, and it means to be brave, strong, courageous. How often do we connect comfort, God of all comfort, with us being brave and strong and courageous, able to take on the world, able to face the hard things, because we're comforted by the God of all comfort. It's not just feelings better, feelings of contentment, or I got my own way. It's really connecting with God. It's receiving in our spirit what we need to push forward and do what is right anyways. He's comforted. Yes, sometimes, right? Think of the persecuted church. He hasn't changed all their situations. Not every persecuted believer is out of prison, for example. They're still suffering. The disciples experienced suffering. But the God of all comfort meets them. The peace that passes understanding that he brings passes understanding, but they can experience it. And though he may not change all their circumstances, he does change what's going on in the inside. And yes, he does free them. He did answer. He still answers prayer, right? Releases people from prison. He heals. Sometimes we just lower that to such a degree where he couldn't do a miracle if he tried almost, right? Jesus did so many less miracles in the area where he was raised because of the unbelief, of the going, no way. We have a small view of who God is, of who Jesus is, and you can't really meet us. You're not big enough. But the thing, the affliction, the trouble, the transition I'm going through is so big and overwhelming that it shrunk God down. This passage reminds us, it says, remember how big God is, and let that overwhelm what we're facing. And he comforts us. We need to learn how to receive. That's why this series flowed out of our first series on growth, right? Our first series on growth, we need to be in the Bible. Do we know the truth? It's not the God of all comfort that we're seeking half the time. We're just seeking some other self-help, some other something else. Is the truth of his word permeating our lives? Do we have a growing relationship of prayer with God? Are we hearing him? Can we receive what God wants to give us? If he is Lord, we obey. If we're not going to obey, hey, move this direction. I want to meet you here. No, I'm not moving that direction. What's the chances of us receiving what he wants to give us? We're not following. He's not Lord. We fellowship, ring finger, right? We need each other. This is a journey with God and his people, others. And we share, and this is the sharing part. But we receive first. Are we receiving, both collectively, in small groups, in Sunday school? Is that why we're not why we gather? We receive what God wants to give us, and we push out, we share all the comfort he meets us with. I heard somebody say this week, they've had an idea of what the church is for decades. And now they're in a particularly low spot of life that they haven't experienced before. and they're experiencing the church in a new way. They're overwhelmed with how the church is serving them. Isn't that beautiful? After decades of walking with God, being in church, they're still growing. Here's my understanding of what church is. And I am being changed in my experience of God and with people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Any hard thing we're facing, He's there, willing to give us. Are we able to receive? Are we intentionally receiving? Opening ourselves up to receive. So that's a key pivotal point in this verse. So that, right? Not just so we can get fat on the goodness of God, but He pours into us so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is a sharing. We receive first. Some of us are trying so hard to share, but it's not a current reality in our life. Actively receiving. We receive sometime in the past or whatever, but that sharing flows out of an active, dynamic relationship with God. I want to read a little bit of Psalm 103, starting in verse 13. As a father has, here's this word, compassion. Remember, active engagement on his children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, have a right understanding, a right reverence, right understanding of who he is. That's why I started with the who before we went to the what. Who is God? He's the God of mercies and all comfort. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Right? Often we're way harder on ourselves than God is. He remembers we're formed from dust. We don't have all that we need to live life. Not real life. True life. We don't even have physical life apart from Him. As for man, his days or mankind, our days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and is gone, and the place just remembers it no more. We could take from this that, well, we don't really matter much. But God says we matter incredibly. Every affliction, every hard thing, I'm there to give you what you need, to comfort you, give you mercy. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. So this is huge, the way that we share. It's not just for a moment in time. In fact, if we can pull up, I've got a couple of videos I want to watch before I conclude here. If we can pull up a couple of those videos.
This story starts with high school hierarchy, the kind where kids like Carson Jones and Tucker Workman lead the undefeated Queen Creek football team.
Senior year, you know what I mean? Pretty exciting. A rush, but then, you know, it goes by fast, but it's fun.
While students like Shai Johnson just try to make it through the day.
When the girl said trash at me or throwing trash at you, how did that make you feel?
Yes. The 16-year-old sophomore was born with a brain disorder, and bullies have always been a part of life. Until this year, when her mom called on a family friend for help. It was Carson, starting quarterback Carson.
I emailed Carson, told him that Shai was having some issues, was just wanting some names, and he took it a step further and went and gathered Shai up at lunch, and she's been eating lunch with him ever since.
From first hour through the end of the day, Shai's guys make it a point to look after her. And this group's newfound friendship has changed the game.
They're like not bored her anymore because I guess they like seen her with us or something.
They're modest about their small act, but to Shai, high school is a new world, a safe one.
You say, you're my team. These are my boys, right?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because they're safe me because I won't get hurt.
All because a group of boys broke those silly social rules and through it earned a loyal friend.
it feels good to know that, you know, we help someone else, you know, because, I mean, we're doing good, you know, everything for us is going well, but, you know, someone else needs to feel good, too.
We are not lonely, because all my boys love me so much.
This story starts with high school.
They stepped in to help. Meet the biker gang driven to help an Albuquerque girl after she was bullied on her way home from school. News 13's Emily Younger shows us how they rode to the rescue.
They're loud. Big, burly bikers dressed in black. And while they may appear dark and dangerous, the Punishers, a law enforcement motorcycle club in Albuquerque, are far from it.
Yeah, we're all pretty soft-hearted. I'm actually a nurse.
This week, the group, made up of military vets and former police officers, banded together with a local self-defense group to help a local girl in desperate need.
We were asked to talk to a young lady that was a victim of bullying.
That victim is just 5 years old and suffers from a mental disability. The girl's family, who asked us not to name her, says she was walking home from school this week when some neighbor kids jumped her and beat her up. Punishers got wind of the story.
We rounded up all the bikes and we rode over to the little girl's house and just said hi.
When she walked out, she was kind of wide-eyed.
The group says once the girl warmed up to them, they formed this special bond.
We told her, you know, that we're always there for her, no matter what.
They left her with a strong message to always stand up for yourself. And in turn, they left feeling proud.
Emotionally, it was a good feeling.
Emily Younger, KRTV, News 13.
These are a national organization focused on helping people in the community. It's a motorcycle club, not a biker gang. The group in Albuquerque also sponsors a Little League team. They stepped in to help.
Right, did you hear a couple of their comments? One of the high school football player boys said, you know, life was going good for me. This was a realization it wasn't for someone else and that I could help. Right? We can become just as selfish as the world, even in the church. Hey, I'm doing all right. Life is okay for me. But if we don't have compassion on the least of these, we are not the church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's clear in Scripture. If we don't have compassion on the least of these, if we don't care about widows and orphans and those in prison, we are not the church. We might be something else. We might be a gathering of people. We might be something else. We're not the church of Jesus Christ with Jesus as the Lord. Because he's the God of all compassion. And he gives it to his people so that we can. I don't know if any of these guys, the football team or the bikers, are believers. But even people created in the image of God can step in and do the right thing because we're created in his image. How much more then the church of God can walk with other people? We're so consumed with where we're at and what's going on in all our lives. Or we're hindered from receiving. And this is a long journey. This is a journey to go on. There's things in our lives, I get it, that are so overwhelming. There's reasons we can't receive and experience the God of all comfort up close and personal. Beverly and I were just in Manitoba at a conference 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now. And that's part of our journey, of able to receive what God wants to give us, how he wants to meet us so personally and powerfully that we are transformed and we engage. See, if we're not sharing, this is, it reveals that we're not actively receiving. If we don't care about someone else's suffering, we can laugh that off or dismiss it quickly. It shows a disconnect with the God of all comfort. Because he comforts us so that we can comfort others. And it's a both end in being the church. We can't be the church apart from receiving. And we are not the church apart from sharing what he's given us and actively giving us. Since the last of our series with our plants,
This one, you know, I've tried to kill it. I've watered it twice since November. But it was almost done and dead last week, right? It was drooping down. Most of it was brown. Here's some of the leaves that fell off of it. I gave it a cup of water. And it's already come back, but it's still pretty wilty. Some of us are attending church and think, man, this is as good as it gets. I'm a wilty, wilty plant. This one, I haven't even done much to it, other than I didn't even water it every week. Most weeks, it got one cup of water. It's healthy. It's rubbery. We get satisfied with this level of health. We're not in our scriptures. We're not receiving from the God of mercies and the God of all comfort what he wants to give us. We're not actively engaging in prayer, obeying, following him, engaging each other in risky ways, right? It's vulnerable to open ourselves up and say, would you pray for me in this way? And we're not sharing. We're not stepping in. Wow, their situation, that's way too big for me, right? It's not just a moment in time, stepping in for a short time like we read in Psalms. God's love is everlasting, and so is his church. We can journey with people over time when we're in Christ. It's not this wilty thing, but most of our churches, I think, in North America reflect this. More than that, God's calling us to more, and he wants to meet us more and more powerfully. Are you in? Do you want more of what God wants for us? We need to surrender and yield. Yield to him. We need to praise him for who he is. That's the starting point. Praise him for who he is. Remember the who. It's all about him. Quit this fixation we have in North America to make us the first and foremost. He is the first and foremost, right? Praise him. And repent. Go, Lord, I've had a little faith. I didn't even believe you for my own afflictions. How am I ever going to believe you for someone else's? Help me receive, repent, confess, come clean before him. Acknowledge him. I'm spelling out pray, by the way. Praise him, repent. Acknowledge, ask of him. He brings the transformation. He brings the change. Ask. Make it a dialogue, though. Listen for the answer. Right? It's a dialogue. We ask and we yield. Wherever you send, wherever you call, I'll be in that place. I'll obey. I'll put myself in a position. It's discipline, right? Sometimes it's more discipline than delight, but it becomes delight in following him. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we do praise you for who you are. All you have done and all you are doing, God. You are raising up your church and all those people of faith around this globe are part of your church. We, if we've put our trust in you, Jesus, are your church. And we're becoming more and more like you, I pray. Lord, help us be quick to repent. To see repentance and confession as a necessary part of the journey. Wherever we're not aligned with who you are and what you're calling us to do, help us be quick to repent that you can bring transformation and change, God. Receive your mercies and your comfort in all that we face. And then ask. You are a God who gives liberally and generously. Ask you to bring change. Help us see the world differently and that we would yield and go where you lead, God. We want to be your church. Overwhelm us with who you are and what you are calling us to be. That we would follow you and bring glory to you. We would be your church. In your name we pray. Amen.